Right. Okay, so last week we saw that David's brethren, so his family, have come out to him in the wilderness where he's at. He's also been joined by kind of a rugged crew. 400 distressed men have come out to be there with David. They're distressed, they're indebted, they're discontented. And you would probably look at that, and I would probably look at that and think, what am I going to do with this kind of a crew? But David, as a godly man, saw God's hand in it, and he just took whoever God gave. And as a church, the body of Christ, that's the way we are. We are that rugged people that come out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he takes us as we are, and he makes us into what we can be. And certainly that's what we're going to see David do with these men. They're going to become mighty fighters in David's army. And so last thing we looked at was David securing his parents with the king of Moab. Though he was super busy with everything and stressed with everything about life, he took the time to care for his mom and dad, make sure that they were secure, and that's a godly son honoring his parents. Now, continuing on, God was guiding David through spiritual authorities, okay? Even though he's in the wilderness, and so he's kind of out from that opportunity to worship like he had, he stopped by the tabernacle on his way, yet he's got spiritual authority with him. And so verse 5 says, "The prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed, and he came into the forest of Hereth." And Matthew Henry's commentary says, he had the advice and assistance of the prophet Gad, who probably was one of the sons of the prophets that were brought up under Samuel, and was by him recommended to David for his chaplain or spiritual guide. Being a prophet, he would pray for him and instruct him in the mind of God. And David, though he was himself a prophet, was glad of his assistance. He advised him to go into the land of Judah. And so Prophet Gad is praying, asking God for wisdom. God's guiding Gad to guide David, encourage David in the direction that God was going to give to him. And David takes that counsel. He puts it into immediate service, and he goes after exactly how God had led him. And, one of the great ways that God guides us is through our submission to his instruction. And so when God gives us instruction, when we yield to that, that's great, because that's going to get us where we need to go on the path of life. And so I want to focus in on the will of God a little bit here as we think about this, because David has spiritual direction given to him by God. He responds to that. That puts him where he needs to be. And so I just want to encourage us, we should pray about our decisions and be responsive to God's instruction. And so whatever the decision is that we're making, we ought to pray about it. And then as the Spirit of God directs us, then we ought to follow that. So how does God direct us? Well, let's consider the spiritual authorities or ways God puts into our life to help us follow him. Well, first of all, obviously the Bible. Psalm 119:105, you could probably quote this with me. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Okay, so how does God guide us? We ask the question. He guides us through his word, okay? The scripture is there for us to help us to be guided. And so we ought to maybe even ask God for a scripture. I'm praying, especially if it's a big decision. I'm praying about this, God. I don't know what to do here, and can you give me some scripture to encourage me in the decision that we're making with regard to this? It could be big or small, but I just need really clear leading. So the Bible, godly parents, or even parents, I could say, because regardless whether godly or not, God, especially with teens or young people, is going to use our parents to guide us. Okay, they may be unsaved, but God can still work in their heart and give us the correct leading as we honor the authority that he's given to us. And so Proverbs 23:26, Solomon said, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Okay, I want to teach you. Trust me in that sense. Follow me in that sense. I want to put you on a path that is a right path. And that's good for instruction, for a young person especially, seeking the will of God. But even as an older man, as long as our parents have the ability to counsel us and give us guidance, I think it's wise to listen to godly, especially godly parents, but parents in general. And then the preaching and teaching of God's word, Isaiah 30:18 says, "Therefore, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you? And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you? For the Lord is a God of judgment." Now it says this, "Blessed are all they that wait for him." Okay, they're waiting for God to direct them. "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry when he shall hear it. He will answer thee. Okay, he's going to answer. They're waiting for him. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Okay, so there's been a while. They weren't getting the guidance that they needed. They weren't getting the instruction that they needed. They're crying out to God. God, we need basically Bible teaching, Bible instruction, and God's guidance through that. Okay, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And so God says, I'm going to give you back spiritual instruction that is going to put you on the path that is the right path. Now, we might have to wait on God sometimes for a little while. You know, God's maybe not going to give us scripture right away. He's not going to give us direction right away. And we got to be content to say, okay, but I'm going to wait on God until God very clearly leads. Then I'm going to make a decision based upon that. Now, with regard to preachers and teachers, as I think back about my life, and I'm just thinking back about the big things, there are certain times in my life that were turning points as far as God's working in my life. First was salvation, and everyone's heard my testimony of how I got saved. My dad was preaching. Spirit of God spoke to my heart. You need to get saved, all right? Big decision. How did God lead me to that? Through the preaching of the Word of God. Surrender. I was at camp. Again, preaching. Listening to the Word of God. God spoke to my heart. Surrender your life. Say to me, whatever you want me to do with my life, God, I'll do it, all right? And that's when I surrendered, was under the preaching of the Word of God. God called me to preach. That was at a camp, and I just prayed to God, God, if you give me the ability to speak, I'll surrender my life to preach. And you might know the story of how God used an illustration through the preacher that was preaching to answer my question of ability, and I surrendered and went out and surrendered to preach. Church planting. I heard a church planter from the West preaching to us as preacher boys, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and I went out saying, God, is this a burden or is this a call? And God anchored in my heart a call to church planting. That, you know, so often God is going to do that. You know, that's God's going to minister through the Word of God. He's going to give instruction. He's going to give guidance through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Let me say this. Maybe unbeknownst to the minister, maybe unbeknownst to the speaker, it might be something like this preacher that was preaching, it was the illustration that he used rather than the text. It was a powerful text when God called me to preach. Ezekiel 22:30, I saw for men that I should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. It's a powerful text, but it wasn't the text. It was the illustration. And so God used that to answer very specifically something in my life. So God can do that. The counsel of the spiritual leadership in the local church, Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, the leadership, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. All right, so follow their leadership, and part of that is godly counsel and talking about it, praying about it, and thinking through it. So whatever leadership God has in the local church, that'd be wise to consider it. Okay, so if we want God's mind on something, he will give it. As a church, we're praying right now about the property, asking God, God, is that what you've got for us? And I mean, we have a desire, but we don't want it if God doesn't have it for us, but we do want it if God does have it for us. And so as we've been praying, I've been asking God, God, close doors that no man can open and open the door that no man can shut, right? Because we don't want to push through. The last thing, I'll tell you this, I would lay awake at night and not be able to sleep if I step out and lead us as a church to purchase something that I am not absolutely convinced is God's leading. We have to know that that's of God. We are stewards right now as a church of a large amount of money that has been entrusted to us for this ministry to establish this church with property. And so we've got to be praying and asking God, okay, God, how is that to be used? Because we want to use that for your glory in exactly the way that you desire to use that. Okay, so but if we want God's mind, he will give it. Now, is it possible for a person to get out of the will of God by going where God does not lead? Yes, okay, so God is not micromanaging our life and forcing us into positions where we have to obey him. I mean, just study the Word of God and you'll see carnal Christians. You'll see Paul lamenting the fact that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, Paul didn't say he's not saved. No, sometimes that might be the case. They went out from us because they are not of us. They weren't genuinely converted. They weren't genuinely walking with God. But it is possible for me to step outside the will of God. Let's think about Jonah. God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah goes, no, thank you. I'll go to Tarshish, right? And he exits stage left, and praise God. And now I'll say this, God is a merciful God, and God is a gracious God, but the last thing I want to do is get swallowed by a whale to teach me that I got to obey God, right? I mean, that's not something that's going to be to our benefit, but I can absolutely say to God, okay, God, I know you want this, but no. And there's been plenty of people that have run from a call of God or what God desired them to do, and praise God, maybe a lot of times, like Jonah, God brought him back and said, okay, come on, come on. And got him back in the place of obedience. But let's think about Israel. Was it God's will that Israel go into the promised land? After the 12 spies went in, spied out the land, they came back and they gave their report. Was it God's will that they go into the land? Yes. But they looked at that and they listened to wicked men that were doubting God rather than to listen to God and trust what God was saying. And so because they gave ear to that, they said, no, we're not going to go. And God says what? Okay, judgment. And they say, okay, judgment, we change our minds, all right? We're going to go. And God says what? No, you're not. But the Bible says they went presumptuously up to the hill. What's that mean? It means they, again, exit stage left. They went outside the will of God. They deviated from the will of God, and they suffered because of it. And so I want to help us understand, God has a specific will for our life. God has a plan for our life. And it's kind of like this. I had a teacher that said, and maybe I'm going to get on a rabbit trail here, but he had this idea that in the will of God, it could be A, B, C, or D. And that's fine. So you got Mary, Ellen, Jane, and Deborah, right? And they're all godly girls. And so you can choose, is his idea, A, B, C, or D, and get married, and A, B, C, or D is fine. And I just go, you know, when God created Adam and wanted to help me for Adam, God did not bring A, B, C, and D to Adam and say, Adam, what would you like? All right. God said, here's Eve, specific will for your life. Eve meet Adam, Adam meet Eve. All right. Now, I don't want to cause anybody to have a panic attack and think, okay, did I marry the right person, or where am I? And I don't want to make too light of a statement like that, because I think it is possible to deviate from the will of God. Okay, but now I'm married. Well, that's now God's will for your life, right? Now, I am thinking about things that maybe are difficult for us to comprehend, because God is God and God is providential. But since this is God's will for my life, I can love this person. I can lead this person. I can be guided by God. Okay. Let's say whatever situation there is in life. Okay, I have made a big decision, and I'm wondering, am I in the will of God or am I not? Well, I believe this, and again, based on the Word of God, if we'll humble our heart, get right with God, that where I'm at, God can lead me. Does that make sense? Now, can I make a decision that hurts my life? Yes. And see, that's a fact. I can make a decision. Let's just take an idea. Somebody rebels against God to get out of church. Okay, that's not God's will. Are they missing out on opportunities? Yes. Are they missing out on ministry? Yes. Let's say they were called to preach, and they rejected that, walked away from that. Okay, but God in his mercy, God is a merciful God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and God said to them, look, Israel, for blessing, obey, they reject, but God still would say to them, look, mercy, if. And I just want to encourage us, wherever we find ourselves, to be at that point where we say, okay, right, I can't live yesterday, right? I can't live last week, last month, last year. But I can live today, and I can live this next week, and I can live this next month, and I can live this next year, and by God's grace, what I want to decide is I want to be a person that by the grace of God walks in the will of God, okay? Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press to the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, point being, I can deviate from the will of God. And it will have consequences. But I can, like David messed up, get back in the will of God, get back where I'm honoring God, where I'm going to please God with my life. I can't relive yesterday, but I can live the rest of my life for the glory of God. So the question would be this: do you make decisions for your life, or do you let God make decisions for you? All right? And that's an interesting question to consider. You know, am I making the decision? Am I in the driver's seat and I say, okay, God, we're going to go this way? Or is it, God, what way do you want me to turn? Where do you want me to go? I've said before, I think, I don't really like the question, though I understand it, asked to young people that says, what do you want to do with your life? I don't like it because the premise is bad. The premise is that I'm in control of my life and I get it. You just kind of want to know, you know, what are you thinking about? It's kind of what we're asking. What do you think about? But a better question, and I don't want to kind of make us overthink about kind of the way we're thinking about this, but maybe this would be a better question. Do you know yet what God or where God wants you to go to college or work? Right? How's God leading you right now? Has God given you any insight into the future, you know, as far as your abilities and things? What are you thinking about as far as the will of God for your life? Why? Because our desire for young people is not that they grow up and accomplish great things and go ambitiously into life and try to figure out how they could be the best that they could be. We desire them to grow up to say, you know what? I just want what God wants for my life. As a church, we don't want adults in our church that have ambition and say, I'm going to achieve. We want adults in our church that say more than anything I want in my life, I just want to get where God wants me to get and be what God wants me to be. Why? Because the Bible says, Luke 9:24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So if our young people grow up and they think, I'm going to save my life because I know better than God and I understand better than God and I think better than God. I know me. I know my abilities, likes, dislikes. And I'm too scared to really give that to God and say, God, whatever you want. So I'm going to rule my life. You save your life, you lose it. Why? Because God is so much wiser. God is so much better to understand. Jesus made you for a reason. Jesus designed you for a purpose. Now, you may feel inadequate to whatever God's working in your heart about, but you got to trust that the God that calls is the God that equips, right? Faithful is he that calleth, who also will do it. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so God says, take yourself as a living sacrifice. Now, if I had a very, very hot altar up here on fire, and I said, who'd like to come up and lay down on the altar? Probably all of us would say no. Why? Because that's painful. Sacrifice is painful. Sacrifice means I have suffered, right? But God says, take your body, a living sacrifice. Then it says, holy. So it's to be sanctified. It's going to be set apart from this world. It's to be holy and submitted unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. You know, I think in a lot of our churches, we think it exceptional. If we had an altar call, who would like to surrender their life to the Lord? To say to God, whatever you want me to do with my life, I will do it. I think we'd think it was an exceptional service if everybody in the auditorium came forward. But God says that's reasonable. So in other words, that's not exceptional. Nobody ought to think that we ought to, you know, and I understand we want to encourage somebody if they make a decision like that, but it ought not be for accolades where somebody comes up and, you know, that's great, that's exceptional. In our day, I mean, to say to God, God, whatever you want me to do with my life, I'll do it. God says that's reasonable. Jesus himself, he said in John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus every day got up and sought the will of the Father. Now, he is God, but he was man. And he humbly lived in dependence upon God the Father for direction, instruction, and guidance by the Spirit of God and did his miracles in the power of the Spirit of God. And so he said, I what satisfies me, is my energy and my strength is to continually do the will of God. Now, Jesus did it perfectly. Now, I believe that to a degree, we can, by the grace of God, accomplish the will of God for our life. There's going to be sin in our lives at times, not the will of God, but that we can be guided by God, directed by God, and walk with God. And so you can direct your paths, but if you do, where are you going to be? Well, I'm going to be off track. If that becomes my idea that, okay, I'm in the driver's seat, I got to make the decisions, and so I want to go there. Well, if I do, again, I'll get off track. How do I know that? Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a couple of the great verses on the will of God. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Okay, so it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay, does it say half? Does it say three quarters? I know, and I get that, but it says all. If I trust God with all my heart, do I pray? Yeah. Am I in the Word of God? Yes. So I'm in earnest. I could say to God, I am trusting you with all my heart. Okay, so we want to find the will of God. Trust in him with all your heart so we have complete trust. Then it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Does that mean that I can't think about it? I'm not, don't lean to your own understanding. You're like running into stuff and falling over stuff, you know. You got to think a little bit, right? But what's it saying? It's saying, you know, you might evaluate it, and you might say this, God, it's not logical for me to do that. Let's say Bible college. It's too expensive, right? My own understanding says I can't go that path. Or let's say somebody's called to preach. I'll tell you my understanding as a young man, I can't. I can't do that. God's will, knock on doors. I can't. God's will, we're praying about street preaching. I'll tell you, I can't. Pray about it. Lean not to thy own understanding. Okay, so we have to be ready to set aside our logic and say, okay, that's not going to make the decision. That's not where it's at. God, I'm trusting you with all my heart. I understand things. I can think about things, but I'm not going to make a decision just based on my understanding because sometimes the will of God may be contra to my understanding because God is above me and he thinks way beyond me. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Again, let me just make it really simple. In half my ways, three quarters of my ways, 90% of my ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So that means I need to go to God and say, okay, everything, Lord, everything. So I am asking you about everything. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. Okay, if I have complete trust and I reject my own logic and I'm not trusting in my own logic and I'm acknowledging God in everything and I'm saying to God, okay, God, here it is. I'm praying about it. Is God going to direct me? Yes. And that's a promise, right? And we can bank on the promises of God, just like salvation. Thou shalt be saved. And we say to that unsaved person, look, God can't lie. God can't lie. And so I've got to be willing to go to God and say, okay, God, I take you at your word. You said complete trust, not to trust myself. Everything acknowledge you, I'm acknowledging you. And so I'm asking you to direct my steps. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So it's God's will for Benson's life is not in Benson. God's will for Jade's life is not in Jade. God's will for Pastor Ben's life is not in Pastor Ben. It is in God's leading. Why? Because he's the master. I don't know if you thought about this, but it's regrettable that we drive around in horseless carriages. It's kind of sad. In the last 100 years, we are part of the very, well, we're kind of the majority, because I guess as many people are alive now as have ever lived or something like that. But all these generations previously, what did they get? A horse. And I'm telling you, I've wanted a horse since I was a kid, but obviously it wasn't God's will for my life, so I didn't have a horse. But I've always wanted a horse, but a horse that's a good horse, what does it do? Exactly what the master wants. You know, really good horses, as I understand, I've done a little bit of horsemanship, just put a little pressure with your knees, and that horse responds. Some of them are so smart, you could actually talk to them, give them voice commands, and I mean, they respond at that. And but a bad horse is a horse that what? Doesn't respond to its master. I mean, the last horse you want is a horse that goes left when you want to go right, right, or something like that, because you're probably going to get hurt. And so am I letting God be master of my life, right? And, you know, sometimes, let me say this. Do you know today that you're in the center of the will of God? And somebody could look at that and say, Pastor, that's kind of mystical. That's kind of, you know, just kind of out there. I don't think it's as mystical as it sounds. Here's a way to discern it. Did you ask God to give you scripture to help you make the decision? You know, did God give guidance through the Word of God? Was it something that the Spirit of God took from the Word of God and helped you to understand this is what God wants you to do? Did you seek spiritual counsel and respond to the considerations that they might have offered, you know, whether pastor or other spiritual authority that is there, maybe godly friend or something like that, godly parent? You know, I know of a man that it's not in our church, but it's a man that insists that God does not want him to work. All the ministers that I know that have ever spoken to this man have said to him, you need to go get a job, all right? His mom has said to him, he needs to go get a job. But he insists that that would hurt him spiritually, though the Bible says that if you don't provide for your own and if you don't labor, neither should you eat, okay? And so, did you seek spiritual counsel and respond to their consideration? And that illustration goes with this question as well. Does your decision violate any scripture? Because if it does, it's not of God. I witnessed to, not witnessed because he was a believer, but I thought it was a witnessing opportunity until I realized kind of where they were at. And they were Baptist, and we started having a conversation. I said, you know, our church is here and whatnot. They're from a different area. And you know what? He said about their church, it's a Baptist Union church, and he said, you know, we did lose some members when, because I asked about women preachers, and he said when we had a women preacher start working in our church, and he goes, she only speaks once a week. And, you know, I just look at it, well, okay. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. There is very clear scripture that articulates that a woman's position within a church is not that of ministering the word of God to the body. Now, that's not to say she's lesser or unintelligent or that she's not a good speaker. It's that God has established that in his word. So I cannot say, church, it's the will of God that we have a woman pastor. Because it's absolutely not the will of God because the Spirit of God forbids it. And so I have to ask the question, does my decision violate Scripture? And if it violates Scripture, I cannot defend it and say it's the will of God because it's contrary to what God says in his word. And so all that, maybe a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I think appropriate rabbit trail, because this is the thing. David's in the wilderness. He's in a really tough spot. He needs to be able to look at his life and say, you know what, it's tough, but God has me here. God's put me here. And so it's not tough because I'm outside the will of God. It's not tough because I rejected the counsel of God. It is tough because God has me here, but God's going to give me grace and strength to go through it. He's still guiding me. Gad said, go to Judah. And so for us, we need to be able, and by God's grace, to have a congregation that says, you know what, I'm not perfect. I mess up. I make poor decisions at times. But my desire is to be in the center of the will of God so that every decision I make, I'm praying about it. I'm seeking good counsel. I'm looking into the word of God. If I got parental authority or authority that God has put in my life, I'm submissive to that. I'm listening to that because, God, I desire more than anything to be in the center of the will of God. And that being the case, well, praise God. You know, we go through anything. Doesn't matter the trial that we're facing. If it's in the will of God, God's got it. Otherwise, we might need to look at it and say, well, it might be chastening. God's trying to get me back into his will and respond a little bit differently to that. But, you know, maybe God's spoken to your heart about it today. You might never thought about it. I wonder sometimes, you know, how many people really go through their life focused on this idea. You know what? I just want God's will. I just want God's will. And it's a great place to be in the center of the will of God. Know you're there because it's going to be tested. It'll be tested. But you could go back and say, no, I know this decision is exactly what God intended. We prayed through it, thought through it. If not, then we got to get where we're at and say, okay, here I am. By God's grace, God, I want to be in your will. And so here I am. Help me to know where to go now and get right back to that place of obedience to God. All right, let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God just use the Word of God in our lives. And Father, we're talking about a kind of a big concept, but it's not as big as it seems. It's not as difficult as it seems. It's really the truth of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I pray for that. Lord, I pray for our church family. And my prayer is that they would be in the will of God, in obedience to God, and see the blessing of knowing the guidance of God. And Father, we're much better prepared to take a position of faith for difficulty if we know, you know, where we're at. It's where God wants us to be. But if not, by the grace of God, we could get back into the will of God just by repenting, maybe of not asking your leading and direction and acknowledging that, but then asking you to put it right. And Father, you're faithful to do that. I know that. You're able to do that. And God, in our church, whether somebody's in the will of God or maybe have been outside the will of God, may the Spirit of God get them right into that place of obedience and yieldedness to God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we could turn the music back on there.